club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
We're back.
Yeah.
Great to be back. MG and Liam, thank you to Anthony Maroon and James Graham on the outstanding job they did last week filling in.
Yeah, well, I hope they did because I didn't listen to 1 second of the show because I was too busy relaxing. But I'm glad to be back. Yeah, good on you, Jimmy Graham, and good on you, Maroon. We love you, boys. Thanks for filling in for us. But oh, what a weekend of sport we just witnessed.
Ooh, what a weekend. And look, today, I know it's 8 days after the fact, but I do want to get your take on the grand final. It's the first time we've heard you speak about your beloved Panthers. And
first time I can speak.
Winning their third ever premiership. We do need to talk about the fact that it is Freedom Day. I know we're a sports show, but it's a big day.
It's Freedom Day, baby.
Freedom Day. Big day. Yep. So we're going to have a chat about that. And Brad Haddin. Oh, man, we're in cricket season. Grand final's done. We're officially in cricket mode.
Well, the Pommies are coming down. They're coming down with a squad that mightn't scare a lot of people, but you never underestimate the Englishman when it comes to the Ashes.
Well, I mean, what are the records you still hold for your grade cricket? Your under 15s? What are you at?
No, under 12s. Sorry. 8 for 4 and 7 for 6.
Open the bowling and the batting?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, I mean, you could probably get a game for England. Try and dig up a passport.
Wow.
No, it's
that'll
not
come
that
back
bad.
And bite you on the bum.
It's not that bad. Brad Haddin's going to join us from hotel quarantine, in fact. He just got back from India.
Oh.
So Haddin's going to join us to talk us through the summer of cricket. But first,
what's cracking?
Taking supernatural strength.
The undisputed heavyweight champion of the world remains undefeated. Tyson, the Gypsy King Fury, MG, in yesterday's heavyweight fight in Las Vegas against Deontay Wilder. What a fight.
Yeah, the best I've ever seen. The best fight I've ever seen. I've watched, I'm a boxing connoisseur, and I know they're comparing him today back to the trilogy that Ali and Frazier had, the third one ending in Manila. And ironically, the promoter of both fights, Bob Arum, who's now 89, he said the same thing. He said, this is the best fight I've ever been at, the best heavyweight fight. And I'd had everything, Liam. I had everything. I know sometimes boxing, especially the heavyweight boys, they just stand and they don't do anything. But these two are dead set prize fighters. Deontay Wilder would have beaten any other man in the world on that performance that he displayed yesterday. But the Gypsy King, oh my goodness, all 6'9" of him, he's got just a larrikin way of him. I love the way he Tyson Fury just comes across out of what he's been through. And yeah, he walked out to You Shook Me All Night Long. Yes. I tell you what, the building was shaking all night
dressed
long.
As a Roman gladiator, a Roman soldier rather, walks out to that. But you mentioned Deontay Wilder, the knockout artist that he is. He is the first boxer ever to knock down Tyson Fury twice in a round. So this wasn't a one-way traffic until that 11th round knockout.
It was epic. I mean, the first fight was a draw, which most thought that, you know,
Fury won.
Fury won, but Wilder knocked him down then as well. Mm. In the second fight, it was easily Fury's. It was TK, I think, in the eighth or something like that. And this one, Wilder came out with a different type of, you know, technique. He started jabbing the body, and then hoping that, you know, Big Tyson would cover up the stomach and open up his face for that right hand, but he didn't. He got him once, he got him twice, which, as you said, knocked him down, but he's got such a great jaw, he's got such a resilience, Tyson Fury, that no other man, and I repeat, no other man in the world would have gotten up after Deontay Wilder hit him like that. And he got up, and then he went on with the job, you know, in the end, he'd done it pretty emphatically.
Yeah, and no other fighter in the world can put on that sort of a performance and then bust out into song in the middle of the ring after the fight like Tyson did.
I was walking in Vegas. I was walking with my feet on the field. I was walking in Vegas. And do I really feel the way I feel?
Oh, I can hold a tune, Big Tyson.
Wow. Yeah, and look, I know he was a bit upset by the way Wilder didn't really, he scoffed at him when he went over to say, well, good fight. He said, no, I don't respect you. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it in the toughest sport in the world. I think these two guys, you know, lay everything on the line. Everything's, you know, there for the prize to be taken. And when one of them win, I think you should be, you know, I'll shake your hand and say, mate, I'll get you next time.
But absolutely.
Obviously, that's twice in a row. And Wilder, who was, you know, said to be the best boxer in the world before he met Tyson Fury, is now left to lament. What's next?
Well, and now the question that hangs around now is, where does Tyson Fury go next? Because the all-British matchup between he and Anthony Joshua just lost his belt to a Ukrainian fighter.
That's who he'll fight next.
Yeah, well, I mean, can he stand in the ring? He used to be a cruiserweight, didn't he? Is he big enough
to be a light heavyweight? He's a points accumulator. And
I don't think you're going to beat Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury's 6'9".
Exactly. I don't think you're beating him.
He's 6'9".
The other thing, my big takeaway from this fight, MG, is to all the men out there, and the women actually as well, let's get body positive.
Yes,
because
body conscious.
That is the greatest fighter in the world. That man's rig, right? If he took his shirt off down at Bondi or up at Narrabeen, people might have a laugh.
Yep.
But he is the dominant fighter on the planet.
Yeah.
And if that man can stand in the ring and put on the show he did, we should all be able to take our shirts off comfortably and not feel embarrassed about how we're looking.
Well said. Well said. He ticks so many boxes, Tyson. It's ironic that, you know, he's undefeated in his boxing career, and he's just, now they're starting to mention him in the same sentence as Muhammad Ali, would you believe? Like, and I saw some quotes yesterday after the fight saying that, well, in the current era, you've got to say that he's the most dominant by a mile in a pretty stacked division of dinosaurs. They're so big, these boxers these days. You know, Muhammad Ali was 6'1" or 6'2" and, you know, 95, 98 kilo. These guys are 130 kilos and 6'9". They're legitimate giants of the world.
Enormous. It was a great fight. We loved it. Can't wait to see what happened. Justice Hooney. Hey, go on. Get ready.
Oh.
Get into that world, mate. Actually,
Big Tyson is a fan of Paul Gallen.
He loves Paul Gallen.
He loves Gal. I love the way he fights. Love the way he's...
Gal, don't take that fight.
Gal.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen, but don't take that fight. MG, we're a week on from the grand final now,
yes.
And we've changed gears officially. The T20 World Cup kicks off next week. The IPL's coming to a close. We're in cricket season officially.
Hasn't the big show been flogging in the IPL? Might be our chat we had with him just recently in quarantine. Speaking of quarantine.
Well, it's lucky the big show's going well because no one else is in the IPL at the moment for Australia. But you talk of hotel quarantine because... On a day when Sydney is dancing in the streets with their newfound freedom, our man Brad Haddin is currently sitting in a hotel room 2 days in to his hotel quarantine after returning from India. G'day, Hads.
Hey, boys. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I haven't been talking to anyone for a couple of days, so I'm looking forward to the chat.
Well, before we have our chat, paint the picture for us, Hads. What are you looking out on at the moment? Are you on your balcony enjoying some sun at least?
Yeah. MG, I don't even have a balcony. I've got an enclosed room. I'm at the Park Royal looking over Bathurst Street, but I couldn't sleep last night. I seen everyone walking across about 11:30 across the towards the casino, getting ready for a few beers when they got freedom. So I was extremely jealous about 4-1 last night.
Oh, you'll be able to join us in about 12 days, buddy. So hang in there. Speaking of the Ashes, here they come. Well, they've made a big announcement. Joe Root and his boys, a squad of 17, will be coming to play the much sought-after series over here on the 8th of December, the first test. What do you make of the English team who are coming to meet us?
Yeah, I don't think there's any demons in there for the Australian team, to be honest. There's 10 uncapped players who haven't played in an Ashes campaign before, and as we know, the theatre behind an Ashes campaign and the pressure that these guys are going to be under once they hit Australian shores is going to be something that they also get excited about, but it's something they're going to have to handle. From a bowling point of view, you need pace out here in Australia, and I see Mark Wood's the only bowler they've got that bowls over 145 k's, so I don't think there'll be any demons there for the Australians. And in their batting, Joe Root, he's had an extraordinary 12 months. He hasn't had a great time of it in the past in Australia. He's the only real world-class batter. So I can't see any demons there why Australia can't retain the Ashes.
I mean, Jofra Archer, I guess,
not
touring with injury, and obviously Ben Stokes as well, taking a break for his mental health. But you look at that pace attack and Stuart Broad, 35 years of age. He's just getting over an injury. Jimmy Anderson, Hads, at what point does Father Time catch up with Jimmy Anderson? 39 years of age, and yet his form still seems to be holding.
Yeah, let's hope it catches up with him about the 8th of December. So, yeah, it's interesting. Those two have obviously been great servants for England cricket, but we've also seen a little bit of decline in Jimmy Anderson as well. We've seen him bowl well in the first innings, but he struggled through the summer to get wickets in the second innings, which is, as you know, you need to take 20 wickets out here to win a test match. So it's disappointing that Archer and Stokes are both not coming. They're both world-class performers, and they also, they're that X factor that you need in a big series like this. So it's disappointing, and let's hope Ben Stokes gets over what he's going through at the moment, and let's hope for England's sake we do see him at some stage of the series.
Yeah, well said, buddy. What about our boys? Who are you looking forward to, and who should we be watching this summer of cricket down under?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a big advantage is in our pace attack. We've obviously got the three there in Stark, Cummo, and Hazel, but we've also got a good lineup off the field. You've got young Jai Richardson, who's we know is up to that standard. We've got James Pattinson, which I love come Ashes time. He's got that white line feeder. He loves playing against the English, and he does give it to him. So he's one to see. We've got Riley Meredith, who bowls with good pace. We could see through the summer as well. So I think a big advantage for us is our pace attack. We still need to find a number five and an opening batsman, whether Pekoski gets over that shoulder injury and he starts at the top. But I think it's our pace bowler and the goat that'll cause all the damage.
Number two and five are the big holes in the unknown, the question marks in that Aussie lineup. If you were asked to make your selections, who's opening with Dave Warner and who's coming in at five?
Yeah, I'm going to be biased at number five. I would give Moses Henriques a crack. I think he's been the most consistent performer in state cricket for a number of years. But I also like the style he plays at number five or six, where he plays. He moves the game forward. He can counter-attack. And I think you need that in the Ashes. And I think they'll go with Pekoski up the top. Khawaja could be an option as well to open with David Warner. But I think they'll stick with Will Pekoski if he passes Pitt with his shoulder.
Fair enough. And now, Hads, you're a coaching mastermind. What the hell's going on with the Aussies in the IPL? Why is Glenn Maxwell the only one actually doing anything this tournament?
Yeah, it's interesting. But I'll tell you what it has been. It's been good to watch Glenn Maxwell play, actually. He's had a couple of lean seasons in the IPL, but what I've liked most about it, he's scoring some runs under pressure, and he's scoring them at a good clip as well. We all know the highlight package Maxwell has, but we want to see it more often, and that's what he's doing out there. He's been consistent, so that's been one really good thing to watch.
Mm. Yeah, the big show. He's been putting on a big show. And, MJ, it's because you gave him a pump-up when he got into hotel quarantine over
gave
there.
Gave him a bit of a pump-up. We like to give our sportsmen pump-ups. Who was the last one we gave to him before?
Aaron Finch.
Finchy,
This time last season, you ran him through his stats and figures, and then he walked out on the SCG against India and smashed a century. So,
why don't we give Haddon some
pump-up? Why don't you give Brad Haddon a bit of a pump-up to get him through the next 12 days?
Okay, so I'm just recently, my gym opened up today, so I know how much physical health is as much as you know anything else. You've got to have mental and physical health. I think while you're in quarantine, every day you've got to do at least 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and don't have two club sandwiches before midday.
No worries. I can do that. Can I have two Coronas before midnight?
Yes, I didn't say anything about not having beer, brother. I didn't say anything.
No worries. I'll take that on board.
Yeah, very good. Hads, thank you for giving us some time. Best of luck with the remaining 12 days. If you need to talk through anything, if you just want to talk some more sport, you know where we are. We're only a phone call away.
Mate, I might need you day 6 and 7 when I start getting demons. So I'll talk to you then.
Okay, Haz. Love you.
Now, I know some people don't classify wrestling as a sport, you know, of the WWE variety.
Well,
but you're a big fan of it.
I used to be one of the biggest. when my young bloke Logan was around between say 6 and 12, them 6 years, probably from, you know, from 2000 to 2005 or six, I was massive. Back in the 80s and 90s, I loved it with Hogan and, you know, Randy Savage and all that type of stuff. But now, yeah, I'm more of a UFC man now.
Right. Well, The Rock. No one can argue that The Rock is probably the biggest export that that world has probably seen.
By far. Him and Hulk Hogan, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, I mean, Fast and the Furious, there's been reports that he was going to run for president. This man...
James Bond.
Can basically turn his hands to whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
I would suggest he's found something he should stay away from.
Oh, no.
Suggest that rap is The Rock's bag, MG.
Before I even listen to this, I know you've got something up your sleeve. I'm suggesting that he's jumped the shark already.
Let's have a listen to The Rock's featuring on Tech N9ne's new single, Face Off.
Come on, man.
Tell me what you think.
It's about drive. It's about power. We stay hungry. We devour. Put in the work. Put in the hours. And take what's ours. Like in Simone in my veins. My culture banging with strange. I change the game. So what's my motherfucking name? Rock!
What they gonna get, though?
Desecration. Defamation. If you wanna bring it to the masses. Face to face. Now we escalating. When I have to put boost asses. Mean on ya. Like a dream when I'm rumbling.
Yeah, buddy.
You gotta scream, mama. So bring drama to the king, Brahma.
I listened to that for 10 seconds. If it wasn't The Rock, I wouldn't listen to it for 3 seconds. Wow.
Now
he's getting a bit carried away with his own success, I think, the big fella.
I think The Rock's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Well, he's nearly 50. He's just a couple of years younger than me.
So now I don't want to discourage anybody from exploring their passion.
Come on, let the gun.
But when you're so good at everything.
Yeah, well, you're trying to be good when you're so good at everything, you think you are good at everything.
Well,
and somebody's obviously said, mate, you know what?
You can rap.
Sometimes when I listen to you when we're sitting on your couch, you are the best rapper I've ever heard in my life. He goes, well, let's do a song. Come on, let's do a song. I'm going to swear. Let's do everything.
Well, I wish someone had given that same advice to Steve Smith 12 months ago about playing the guitar.
Because I've seen you with your hair down and your bare feet, dancing around the living room, spilling wine on your dress. And I've seen you on a bench seat in a tank top and your blue jeans.
Oh.
Now that makes The Rock look like Eminem.
Well, yeah, that's correct.
Stevie
obviously was in COVID. He's picked up a guitar. He thought, you know what, I'm going to sing to my masses, and the masses turned away.
Stick to shadow batting, Smithy.
Stick to cricket, brother.
Stick to shadow batting.
Rock, stick to WWE and acting, and
stick to everything else.
Everything else, but you know, come on, man.
Drop the mic, literally. The Rush Hour with MG and Liam, of course, thanks to Bluebet, MG. Now, even if footy's done, whether it's cross sport, same game, or same race multis, you can bet with Bluebet. It is the true blue Aussie bookie.
Sorry about that, butting in. We love speaking to our man each week, Duncan McRae from Bluebet. And we're about to speak about a team that play at Bluebet Stadium.
Amazing.
Comes to Murray, delays his pass for Walker, and then throws it into set. Goodbye, Steve Crichton. He has put Penrith back in front.
Oh, this is the first time you're on air post-grand final.
Yeah, it is.
You've had 8 days to digest it. How are you feeling?
Oh, absolutely unreal. I think it was a fantastic game. One of them games for the ages of defence. Again, all these semi-final footy games seem to be defence-orientated, and this was no different. So I love the heroics of the Panthers, all the guys who played with a lot of injuries, you know, Cleary's shoulder and Tottle's ankle, Edwards' foot fracture, Capel broken fingers, Fisher-Harris with his knee. So, yeah, they did it the hard way. But I said it in the preview of the game. I said most players who are playing here tonight will have some sort of injury that they're going into. I think losing Jairo early on from the South Sydney hurt them a lot. I think obviously not having Luttrell in the end bit them on the bum, but... they just didn't look like they were ever going to score against Penrith or get down there. Every time they got down there, they'd score. But trying to get down there was hard for them. So, look, I was ecstatic for the boys. It's only the third time in our 55-year history that it's happened. So there's a reason grand finals should be celebrated, because they're very hard to come by.
You welcome a whole bunch of new Panther Premiership players into your little club that you and Ryan Girdler are both a part of.
Before we go on, that's a bit surreal, because it's like when... Gerds won his comp. I was straight to the club to celebrate with them. This one's been different because they've been so far away from the adoring fans that there hasn't been any kind of physical interaction with them. So it's hard to really grasp the magnitude of how good this win has been, because none of the fans have gone crazy. Like, we come back to 40,000 people at the club. The 2003 team come back to the same amount of people. I bet you this team would have had the same thing happen, but they was just left to people driving up and down Mulgar Road, not even allowed to go into the club. It's
the horns, poor buggers. The horns of Penrith are worn out. I don't know how much a mechanic charges to replace a horn, but I reckon they would have done a roaring trade after.
Well, I think they have a motorcade, I think, planned for in a couple of weeks when they're all back in town, so that'd be good.
It will be fantastic. But we do need to, a week on, you know, you've seen all the celebrations and all the partying, but your brother-in-law and the great Greg Alexander spoke on SEN Breakfast this morning about the nature of the Panthers' celebrations. Here's what he had to say.
There's been a couple of social media things that haven't impressed me. I think a couple of our players need to pull their heads in on social media. It gets a bit out of control. I don't follow social media. I've had people tell me about what's been posted. Some of it shouldn't have been. So, yeah, bit out of line, Matty.
When done, I agree with him. And when he talks, I listen, and a lot of people from Penrith listen. And I think he said it, you know, as best as anyone can say it. And look, it's very hard. I can't throw stones because I didn't win a grand final in the social media era. I could only imagine what I may have done on my phone straight after the game, and then regretted it. So something's got to be put in place for these guys after an Origin series or after a grand final win, where they take their photo of them in the dressing room, then they get their phones taken off them for 48 hours.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because nothing good's going to come of it.
Yeah, but we know that's never going to happen, because this is the world we live in, where you need, if you're not posting it on your Instagram, did it even happen? My, and obviously, look, I think when people, you know, deep dive into stories and try and find things that the players are doing wrong, because unfortunately that's part of our world now as well. People go looking for reasons to dob in people of profile. I will say that the Tyrone May post in regards to his time in court and showing the photos and all the rest of that, I think that was a really poorly planned thing that the club needed to probably get on top of quicker than they did.
Yeah, and I think they will. I think they will, because there's victims in this case, and I think that you've got to think about them, and that's what the club will probably say to him next time you're in that jersey talking about things that, you know, shouldn't be. You've got to. There was a court case, and so it did take a little bit of the gloss off the grand final win, because in the ensuing days it had been, as I said, so far out of sight, out of mind, that you're right about people trying to grasp the stories. But sometimes when the players give you the story on a platter, you've got to run with it.
But aside from that incident, I thought the Dane Laurie thing was a bit stiff, to be personally honest.
So do I.
This is a guy who has a huge attachment to this club. And I know this is not my area, MG. Dane Laurie's not the bloke to blame for the way West Tigers have been travelling.
No, that's another story for another day, who's got their players' player of the year. But I know that he loves most of the team that he played with, and that was Penrith for 3 or 4 years. And he grew up with most of the players who played in that grand final. They went to school together, played lower grades together. So, it would have been no different to have a South jersey on if that's who he was going for in the grand final. I thought it was such a storm in a teacup, it wasn't funny. And same as breaking the trophy. Come on, don't give it to him if you don't want him to break it. I mean, Laurie Daly dropped one off a car in 1989. For goodness sake, let's not worry about breaking the trophy. The trophy hasn't got feelings.
The trophy doesn't
have feelings.
It's a trophy
that can be replaced.
There's our promo for next week, Charlie. The trophy doesn't have feelings. Now, MG, I know we're a sports show. That's our bread and butter. But, I mean, we have to talk about the huge, significant milestone day that it is in the great state of New South Wales today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's been a fantastic show today, but we have to finish it like this. What a day it is. You wake up this morning hearing that people had lined up at Kmart at 12:01, at pubs at 12:01. Freedom Day is upon us. After 108 days of lockdown, we finally got our shackles off and we let the pigeons loose.
What were people so desperate to get from Kmart? That's my only question there.
The Kmart hasn't been closed for 3 months.
They've been doing click and collect and deliver and...
Wow.
You know.
Come on. What's the first thing you're going to do after the show today? What are you going to do?
I'll be honest with you. I'm in Randwick, and I did jump online last night after my wife and kids had gone to bed. And I went, are there any pubs around here opening at 12:01? East in Bondi Junction was going to, but that would have required walking and I couldn't be stuffed. So I've got a dinner booked in with a bunch of mates this week. We're going to hit the pub this week. We've got a booking, but I'm going to wander my local area and see if I can't just get in somewhere easy enough for just one beer.
Just one schooner.
What about you?
Well, I was back at the gym this morning, back in all the members are back, so that was fantastic to see them back training. And so I really haven't had a chance to think about having a beer yet, but
we're going. That is the biggest fib of this whole COVID pandemic, that MG hasn't thought about having a beer.
We're going out to the Panthers tonight for a bit of steak at the Ossos, and then Friday, a bit like you, I'm teaming up with 20 of my mates in the Punters Club, and we're going up to the Pioneer for a booking.
How good is that?
Yeah.
Sorry, you're going to the Panthers Club tonight?
Yeah.
This is going to be big. People are going to look. Can you imagine being a Panthers fan sitting at the Leagues Club tonight, Freedom Day? This is a week on from the grand final win, and then Mark Guy just wanders into the place. You're going to be mobbed. It's going to be like Freedom. 91 all over again.
I didn't think about it, to be honest.
I would be ready for that, mate. This will be huge. Now, significantly I'm sure everybody's got their Freedom Day plans and Freedom Week plans and exciting and all the rest of it. But this weekend, the Everest is on, which we'll no doubt be talking about later on in the week.
Yep.
And terrific news if you're a horse racing fan or if you love getting along to the races. Confirmation today that capacity for the Everest has been doubled. It was meant to be just 5,000, but it has been doubled today, confirmed by our new Premier Dominic Perrottet. It will be 10,000 for the race this weekend.
Yeah, there's an atmosphere for you, isn't it? That's now our biggest race here in Sydney, arguably one of the biggest in Australia.
That's the biggest in Australia.
Well, I think Melbourne Cup has got the runs on the board, so to speak. But this is the one that my kids' generations are starting to gravitate towards. Obviously we're older than them, but today when they heard that news, they said, "Dad, can you get us tickets?" So I said,
"And."
I'll find out. I'll ask a question.
You said if it was at Rose Hill, I'd be able to sort your suite. Randwick, not my deal.
There you go. Exactly. My words exactly.
Yeah, when they move the Everest to Rose Hill, I can help you out. But fantastic news, not only for your average punters, but also for Racing New South Wales. This is, at this time of year, it is such a big thing, the race meets every weekend. So the Spring Carnival, we're into it. Going to be fantastic this weekend, 10,000 people. Watching the Everest, we might get some expert to come in and help us with the Everest this week.
We definitely will. Yeah. I think, as you said, we are a sports show, but this is a significant day for our state, and I don't want to see anyone blowing it for each other. Let's be safe, be really vigilant of what you're supposed to do, and have fun. Have fun together at last.
At last. All right, we've had a lot of fun today. We've got to get out of here. Back tomorrow, MG. A pleasure to see your smiling face again. Enjoy your dinner at the club tonight. Just be warned. I've told you, there's some Panthers people are going to lose their minds. As far as they're concerned, you are Nathan Cleary at the moment. You're the closest thing they've got to it. So get ready.
Oh, I hope so. As always, you beautiful people, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.